listening to the Behind the Whistles podcast with Des Roach and Steve Conroy in association with Roxburgh Group. If you need insurance, Roxburgh have you covered.
Good afternoon, it's James Sweeney and I'm back with another episode of Behind the Whistles with my colleague and former SFA Category 1 referee Des Roach, brought to you in partnership with both Beaks Group and Roxburgh Insurance Group. Unfortunately, Steve Conroy is not with us this week because he's off sunning himself in Bali. What a lucky man. How are you, Des?
I'm good, but I think Steve's probably in a better place than me. However, I think Sam's still running his life, so I would be very much, very much happier in a bit of sun. But I've got 2 weeks off now, so I can have a wee bit of time with myself and my family.
Good man, Des. Well, I hope Steve is enjoying himself. We will be back next weekend for the big game and to cover everything. And we'll just get cracked on, Des. I mean, obviously, we've had a slow week after the international friendlies. People have been really excited for our league business to start again. And when that happens, normally you're not far away from controversy in Scottish football. And we didn't have to wait very long because it came on Friday night, the Ayr United game, and there was an incident with a two-footed tackle. And Mr. Munro, who was a referee in the game, has decided that the tackle only merited a yellow card. It looked like serious foul play. I can't really understand why he's gone to yellow. I would really like your thoughts on it.
Can't defend it. It's a red card. Red card all day long. Dave Munro is a FIFA referee. He should be picking that up, particularly when he's only within 3-4 yards of it. So there is no mitigation. There's no defence of it. It's a red card. He got it wrong. And Scott Brown is entirely correct to call that decision as being wrong and a player potentially being injured.
Yeah. I mean, under the IFAB laws, they're there to protect players against such tackles. You're taught from a very early age that you can't go in with 2 feet and stud showing and expect to stay on the park. It was reckless. There doesn't have to be, under the law, any intention to endanger. Endangering's enough. It should have been a red card. As simple as that, isn't it? It's a red card.
Yeah. When you say reckless, guy's off his feet with 2 feet. He's not in control of his challenge. So it's a red card. There is no other decision. Yeah. So yeah, I can't really express anything further than that.
Yeah, it's not the kind of tackle you want to see in a game. Okay, we'll move on. First game of the weekend is St Johnstone versus Dundee. It was another entertaining game. Some great goals in the game. There was a VAR check at the end. The referee had adjudged that St Johnstone player had pushed the Dundee defender into his own goalkeeper, which led the ball into the net. I can understand why it was given because under a VAR review, because of the fact if you put your hands on an opponent these days and it leads to something like a goal, there's a good chance they're going to chop it off, because that's what VAR's become about. It's become about looking for excuses to chop off goals and ruin excitement in football.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it's went. That's the way it's went. But you're looking at it, you're going, is there a nudge? Is there enough there to call it off? I don't know. Would any player be looking for that? I don't think so. I think any player be looking for that. And I know when we looked at Sports Scene last night, they're saying, there's one hand on it and stuff like that. We're going down to minuscules here. Come on.
Yeah, it's a contact sport. I mean, you're right. I mean, the hand's on, but I don't think there's any necessarily force or push. I think that if anything, he clatters with his own goalkeeper, but because the hand is seen on the player, they've just decided we're not taking any chances here, so we'll just chop it. And that ruins the game for me. But there was nothing else in that game, so we'll move on. Probably the most exciting game for me in the weekend, which was Hearts versus Kilmarnock. They're two teams who have had great seasons, and I need to commend their managers. They've really have turned around their teams, got them going. Was looking forward to the game as well because of the fact that they're probably on a level par. So it was a really tough game getting into it to call. So it was no surprise that it ended up points shared. There was no controversies in the game. The game flowed very well. I'd probably say that my moment of the week is going to be Marley Watkins' equaliser. He's called that from the postage stamp behind a very good goalkeeper in Sander Clark in a very different difficult place to go and visit. And credit to Parts and credit to Kilmarnock because they put on a really good game between the two of them. And we didn't have any interventions, etc. that ruined the game. It was a very good game of football.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we all want to see. We're all football fans. So watching that game, Marley Watkins' goal, absolutely incredible. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But again, both managers play exciting types of football. Both managers are very progressive in the way they want to coach their team. So yeah, absolutely. That's what we want to see in Scottish football. We want to see teams who are attacking, they're exciting, they want to go on the front foot. What's not to like about that game? I think it was great. And the fact that nobody is talking about that referee is great.
Yeah, it's a rarity these days, isn't it?
I will, yeah. Listen, we've still got a few weeks to go.
The next game was Aberdeen versus Ross County. There's nothing contentious in this game. It was another good game. It's Peter Levins, another win for Aberdeen. You know, we spoke before, what a good coach Peter is. He's probably going to be an asset to any manager coming into Aberdeen. They've got a chance, obviously, to go on a run now at the end of the season under them. And that allows Aberdeen some more time to appoint their next manager, which they need to get right. They've had, obviously, a few appointments now where it hasn't worked out. And fans will be getting impatient. And they want somebody to come in with a solid plan. But at least at the moment, they seem to have someone there, you know, that is going to keep them on a clear path and do a job for them.
Absolutely. As I said, it's not a secret. I know Peter is personally, but what he's done there, you think what Neil Warnock done, what Peter's done, and probably about roughly the same time gap. Whoever comes into Aberdeen is coming into a massive club with huge potential, with again good backing behind them. But what Peter's done there, I think Peter has to be kept. I think Peter has to have a significant role in what he's doing. I think the players are buying into him. I think they're understanding what he wants to produce. So, yeah, I think Aberdeen they need to get a manager first and foremost. But they also need to look at what's the background team that he's going to bring in with him. And I think Peter Levin has to be part of that.
Help transition, wouldn't it? The game itself, again, there wasn't anything really contentious in there. There wasn't any stoppages and delays because of that. The game was allowed to flow. Another good game of football. But really, there's nothing much more to say about it now, yeah?
No, nothing. No, it was fine. It flowed. And again, that's what you want. You don't want to be reading game reports with referees involved.
Yeah, brilliant. Motherwell versus St Mirren was a bit more to this one. St Mirren goal, there was another Motherwell player pushed at the front post. I think it was Gogic that pushed the man over. And I was quite surprised because you see the Motherwell player going, but there was nothing much more said about it. When you see it on the highlights, it does look like there was a hand on. I'm not sure if it's enough to push over or whether the Motherwell player is just trying to buy a free kick to get out of the danger, but I thought it would at least might have been looked at. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I thought it could be looked at, but for me, I'm okay with that. I've got no issue with it. I think if you're going to take it to that level, then games wouldn't proceed. Games would be stop started. So no, I'm okay with that.
Okay. The biggest call on it that's been getting talked about is the fact that there was a handball, Theo Bear. The ball's come across, and it's quite similar to the one that he actually got penalised for last week. Now, this is where we come to the point where fans get disappointed with consistency. because Baird did get penalised on VAR last week, and in this one, his arm is in an unnatural position. Now, we've talked about these types of handballs before. We've got our own personal opinions, but that's not what the laws of the game say on handball at the moment. And we've seen some ridiculous ones given. Again, he's leaping, so his arm's out, but his arm is out and extended away from the body, so the ball then strikes it, and those are being given as penalties these days. And this one, it was just waved away. There wasn't any review done. And that's obviously led now some Murrin fans to take to social media and say that's because Stuart Kettlewell complained last week that they're now scared to give another one against. And I get where they're coming from. I don't necessarily think that that has been a factor in the whack that wasn't given. I think it really has just been an error. It's an error. It's something that should have been flagged. And probably if he was called to look at it, would have given a penalty, because that is what we've been seeing as being given as penalties at the moment. So I think someone can feel hard done by that they never got that one. But I don't buy the idea that it's because Stuart Kettlewell complained before, therefore they're scared to give another one against them. I never buy into that stuff. I mean, I do keep up for social media. I don't think it's a factor. I just think that there's just serious lacks of consistency in when VAR intervenes, and when the handball rule means one thing one week and something else the next. It's just the mess that the handball rule's in and how it's been refereed in the country. Do you have any further thoughts on that handball incident?
No, I think this moment in time, handball is, it's not even subjective, because subjective for you and I, we could have entirely different reasons in looking at it. I just think the whole handball rule is going to a mess. I think we should go back to, and I've always said it since 2022, when Steve Niall said, deliberate or non-deliberate. So when Theo Bear has jumped up for that, I can understand, completely understand why people want a penalty kick given for that. Totally understand it, because I've seen it given. But for me, I think the whole handball rule has to be ripped up, start again, just say, right, did you mean to do it? Did you not? That's it. Cut the whole BS around it. That should be the rule. If you're jumping for a ball, you've got to have your hands somewhere. Right? You've got to have your hands somewhere. You're using leverage. You're using whatever you have to get yourself in that position. I don't understand that. Absolutely. But did you mean to handball that? I think it should go back to that. That's my biggest bugbear. Handball within the current situation is an absolute farce.
Do you think that incident with Theo Bear, when they do the next review of the tranche of games, that's one that they will say VAR should have stepped in and flagged? That would be an error not to call the referee? That would be one of those that will be found as an official error?
I hope so. Yeah, absolutely. I hope so. I think because it was an error. Absolutely.
Okay, I agree with you on that. The game of the weekend, Rangers versus Hibs. A lot going on, as everything these days. There's always something that will be a mass talking point. In this game, Rangers were awarded a penalty. We'll talk about the penalty first, whether it's a penalty or not. I know we've left some people hanging on social media about this one, about what the views are going to be on this. Do you want to start, or are you happy for me to start on this one?
Well, you start, because I'll get plenty of pelters when I give my opinion.
Okay. My opinion on it is, if that happens outside the box, it's a free kick. And I think that referees in the past would have had some discretion as to whether what they applied is a severity enough for a penalty. All right. So what I mean by that is, if it's something that happens outside the box, a free kick, but if it happens in the box, they're a wee bit more like, I'm not going to give it for that because it's a bit too light for a penalty. Okay. But we now live in a world of VAR where those old rules don't apply. There's no such thing as the referee having a discretion as to what's a foul outside and what happens inside is any different. The world that we live in now is a foul is a foul. And if it happens in the box or out the box, it's going to be called to look, and you get run, then run the risk that it's going to be a penalty. The discretion of a referee to consider what is inside and outside is gone. And that's probably one in the past pre-VAR where a referee might have gone, it's just a contact. I don't think it's enough for a penalty. But now with VAR, and they'll call a referee to look at that, and they'll see the hips defender's arms coming across, and his elbow and forearm probably, or forearm, does make contact with John Souter's face, and therefore that is a foul. Whether you consider it light or not, it's a foul outside the box, and therefore when it gets called to look at VAR, it's a foul inside the box. So for me, VAR was correct to intervene in the context of it was a foul, but it's the type of decision I'd rather the referee just deal with on the park. Now, to go further on that, it's not a case of that a VAR simply says to a referee, you come and look at this. That's not what happens, is it? I mean, what will happen is that the VAR referee will say, just look back at this. Seen a forearm coming across into the shooter's face. Is that what you've seen on the pitch at the time? And if David Dickinson, the referee, turns around and says, no, that's not what I thought I saw, then that's when he'll go and look at it. If he turned around to the VAR and says, yeah, I've seen it, they were both at it, I'm quite happy, game can go on, he's not going to be called to look at the screen. The referee's still making the decision on the park. He's not being led there. So he's clearly decided they wanted to see it. When flagged, did you see this correctly? He's clearly said, no, that's not what I've seen. Well, come and have a look. He's had a look and he's seen it. It's a foul. It's a penalty. Whether you like it or not, it's a penalty. That's where I'm at on it.
I mean, I know David well. He said a good look at it. For me, it's a penalty. In my opinion, it's not a penalty. It's a coming together. It's a football incident. Guys are going to come into contact. However, we've mentioned this a few times, under current circumstances and the current interpretations, I can see why it was given as a penalty. And I'm okay with that. But you and I going back to, I don't know, and I hate to say old days, but are you expecting a penalty for that? No, nobody is. It's a coming together. Two guys have jumped for the ball, they went for a header, the Hibernian player is used his arms to get leverage. Fine, you lot came together. However, under current circumstances, I can accept it.
Yeah, in the context of what I was saying, no, if that was outside of the box, you see players jumping all the time, and if one kind of leads with their arm and clatters into somebody's face, there's a good chance the referee is going to give a free kick, you know. But it's not necessarily in the past that they would have given a penalty for that, but that is what will happen now, because VAR will look for a reason for a foul. They will look for something that would be classed as a foul outside the box, and in it, they're not going to use any discretion whether, oh, you just wouldn't give that penalty for that, but it would have been a free kick outside the box. Those days are gone. We are now in this, we're now in a position where a foul is a foul, end of story. That discretion for the referee's been taken out the referee's hands. If it's flagged to him and something is a foul, he should look at or want to look at. That's just what's going to happen. That is the world that we live in now with VAR. We have to just accept that that's the world we've got now with VAR.
Yeah, no, totally agree. It's now just black and white. That's what the law says. That's what you get. You're taking away referees' personality and referees' interpretation and players' interpretation as well. So, yeah, say while I don't agree with it, I can understand it and I can accept it.
I'm glad that you said that, because that was my feeling. That's what the referee personality aspect of it and the instinct of the referee part gets diminished and diluted because of that, and that's quite sad, because a referee should be able to have their own judgment on those things. If we're not, then they're literally become a bit puppet on a string.
I'll take you back to probably one of my most favourite moments in refereeing. I can't can't remember, it was Stirling Albion. Sure, it was Ewan Moyes, potentially. Anyway, Stirling Albion captain. And he gave a foul away, and I went up to him. I said, "What are you having for your dinner tonight?" He looked at me. He's like, "What?" I said, "Well, Saturday night, I normally have a Chinese, blah, 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 having a laugh and a joke." He said, "Oh, a Chinese, what are you having?" And he looked at me. I said, "Everybody wants you to get a yellow card here. Now, do you know what? Just turn around, walk away. That's fine. I'm explaining it to the crowds. I'm like, all right, I'm chicken balls, whatever it may be. You can buy me." 10 minutes later, he went, "Brilliant." That's a personality you need to have. Players, you need to just diffuse the whole situation and go, do you know what? The referees now in this current time with current media scrutiny, they need to have that personality and they need to be given that opportunity to manage the players on the field, not be managed by a camera.
Yeah, it's like they talk about game management. It's no different for the referee in the park than it is a manager putting his team out with tactics. It's game management, isn't it? It's
like, absolutely.
It's like we're 30 seconds in here. Am I going to book him? Because if I set the precedent now that I need to book him, there's going to be an absolute, you know, bucket full of yellow cards in this game. So they've got to...
Are you playing 7v7?
Yeah. But we're kind of heading into a world now where that's not going to be able to happen, and that's quite sad, and it's dangerous for football. It's dangerous for the enjoyment of football. The enjoyment of football is being ruined by what's currently happening, and that's got to remain at the forefront. Is football's a game of enjoyment? It's the entertainment business.
Absolutely, it's the game we all love. So let's enjoy it.
Yeah. The next incident in the game is obviously not just the penalties given, which creates a contentious point if it's a penalty or not, but the penalty saved, and the ball drops first to Scott Wright, who's arriving in the box, who, it's a brilliant finish. I mean, he's cut right across the keeper with it. But then VAR's looked at it, so we're now 7 minutes from looking at the penalty decision to now into a second VAR decision with nobody knowing what's going on, and for it to end with an indirect free kick for Hibernian. Now, 7 minutes, and we get into the old clear and obvious thing again. It's getting ridiculous, right? I mean, we're going to end up with games going on to an hour and 30 minutes. You know, we're going to get that going on to like two hours if we keep going down this path of taking 6-7 minutes over VAR decisions. But having reviewed what the actual rules say on this, and it says that for a player encroachment in the box, it's now judged on any part of the player's body that is in the ground when the kick is taken before. Therefore, if any part of the foot is on the penalty area or on the arc line, it's encroachment, but the player must still have a material impact in the outcome of the kick. So, therefore, you'd be encroaching, but if it then leads to an incident where you've had a material outcome on the kick, then it sets out the criteria about retakes and what happens. Whereas if you've got an incident where the defender and the attacking player are both encroaching, but the attacking player then advantages from it, but the encroaching defensive player doesn't benefit from it, then it doesn't fall under that defender having a material impact. And in this case, to apply the formula to that would be there is a Hibs player, or one or two of them, encroaching in the arc line, which is the D, the fancy word for the D. Will always be the D to me. And you've got Scott Wright, who, from the still frame when Tavernier strikes the penalty, his foot is on the line and borderline into the box. Okay, and the line includes, so encroachment includes the line. We know that there was guidance issued on that the line is included for encroachment. It's not just beyond the line is included. Okay, so you apply the formula in this, you've got, is Scott Wright encroaching? Yes, he is. Is there two Hibs players encroaching within the arc line? Yes, they are. Has Scott Wright had a material impact on the outcome of the kick? Yes, he has, because he's followed in and put the ball in on the rebound from the keeper's save. Has the Hibernian players had a material impact on the outcome by encroaching in the arc line? No, they haven't. So under the rules, it would say that was that Scott Wright is the one that's then penalised, and it's an indirect free kick to Hibs. So as much as people were questioning it and looking into it, it really came down to through a lot of discussion is the fact that it's not as black and white as what you look at on a table on the IFAB website. There's different conditions around about it. When you finally get into the answers, the correct decision was reached by VAR on this one, which we've been very critical of Mr. Dallas on VAR and some of the decisions he's made, but this one appears to be a really good and correct decision.
James, you've just actually told me far more than I could say it. It was a correct decision. If there's encroachment and they're both involved, then yeah, fine. Indirect free kick. That's it. Done. So yeah, I can't endorse that anymore. It was a correct decision given.
Okay. Nothing really much more in the game. Those were the kind of the main talking points. There were some great goals scored in the game, and I did put out on X yesterday. It's a shame that the great goals and the entertainment that was provided by all the players in the park will come secondary in discussion to normal talk of VAR decisions and refereeing odd errors. There was another thing highlighted yesterday, and I had watched the game start to finish, and there was a couple of stoppages in play where Rangers were in possession and the game was restarted with the ball being dropped at David Marshall, the Hibs goalkeeper's feet. And that annoyed a lot of fans because they felt, you know, it was our ball. Why has it been taken off us and given to David Marshall? We were in possession in one instance. It was outside the box and the Hibs player's lying in the box, and the Mr. Dickinson waits until the ball went into the box before he then calls a stoppage for treatment. So you dig into the IFAB on this as well, and what it says is that the stoppage occurs inside the box, even if the ball's in the air. When the referee stops the game, if the ball's inside the box or in the air, then the default is it goes to the goalkeeper. The normal rule about who was in possession, etc., it gets overridden, it goes to the goalkeeper. And I think a lot of Rangers fans then understood that explanation from looking at the IFAB, but what they were then disappointed with was two things. One of the instances of this, he could have stopped it outside the box. He's actually left to play in the box with a head injury for 2 minutes. The play went on. It wasn't until the ball then came back into the box. He then decides, I'm going to stop it here. And he takes the ball off after and then gives it to David Marshall for a kick out. I think that upset and annoyed Rangers fans. Upset any club's fans if that had happened. The other point on this one was that there was quite a serious head knock. There was quite a lot of concern, actually. And it's something that does need highlighted again, because we've only just had this with an incident involving David Munro in February, where there was a player down with a serious head knock and play was allowed to resume, and it delayed getting treatment to that player. And this happened again yesterday. And I have no idea why he waited so long to stop the game, because it was very clear that Chris Cadden's lying in the box and there's something quite wrong. He's holding his head, he's clearly in distress. The game should have been stopped. There was and it comes down to that point where a referee's duty is protection of players. Okay, so what, he's the only one that can stop that game for that player to receive treatment. It should have been stopped right away. You're talking a good 2 minutes where that game continued on with Chris Cadden lying holding his head before he would stop. He stopped the game. That's just not acceptable.
No, it's not at all. First and foremost, before you uphold the laws of the game, you're there for the protection of the players, and you're there for their safety, their health and well-being. As soon as somebody has a head knock, stop the game. I'm not a doctor. There's probably only Steve and Craig Napier who are medically trained to make that decision. As soon as there's a head knock or something like that, game's off, game's abandoned. I would never go to my bed easily to think that somebody has had a brain injury because of my decision. Stop the game.
Yeah, As we talked before about a certain group of referees that were fast-tracked through their FIFA badges. We've spoken about Mr. Munro on Friday night already, and he was involved in that incident in February. Forgive me, it's got off the top of my head, I forgot what game it was actually in, but I know that it was heavily criticised. I think it was Dundee, St Johnstone Dundee. The incident involved the boy Mellon that went down with a head knock, and that game went on for a couple of minutes, and it was heavily criticised at the time. And you think with something so publicly heavily criticised, if you're then a referee and knowing what criticism that David Munro came into for that game, you would be so alert to it not being you and being criticised for it. But that's what happened yesterday. And he's come through at the same time. It's the same match as David Munro. He's got his FIFA badge. Expect these guys when they've got that level of badge that they just would. These things just happen.
Take away the FIFA badge. It's you as a person and me as a person. What's the first thing you do? If somebody's struggling, it doesn't matter the white badge you've got on your chest. You're looking after somebody that's involved in sport. You're looking after, take away sport, take away football. You're looking after somebody. That person is struggling with their health at that moment in time. Stop it.
Yeah, it's disappointing, and I would hope that some more's done. I would hope that he's spoken to about that, especially so soon after the incident in February. Got to put players' well-being first. There's obviously a lot at the moment about head knocks and the long-term effects, etc. So they've really got to be savvy to it. They really have. For many years, they didn't know what the long-term effects of were, heading the balls and head knocks, etc. And it's now coming to light how severe later in life that can be. So more needs to be done in terms of if you've got an opportunity to stop a game for a head knock, stop it. End of story. Don't delay it.
End of.
Yeah. Even if you're in doubt, just stop it. I do have to talk about, going back to the Rangers penalty incident, biomechanic Mikey on SportsSound making his usual backside of himself. I didn't want to call this out because Kenny McIntyre is a great host. And what I mean by that is that he will hold people's opinion to account. He'll challenge them. So you've got Billy Dodds and Michael Stewart sitting in the studio yesterday about the Rangers penalty, and Kenny McIntyre saying to them, well, regardless of your opinion, under the current rules, the IFAB laws, is it a penalty? And the two of them sit in silence before backing each other up with their opinion. We've talked about this before with pundits. Anytime they get asked to talk about the law, they don't know it. And they just give the opinion anyway, and their opinion then influences people. I've said it before. See if you want to come on. Come and talk to us. See if you want to come on and say these things. Come and talk to us. You're welcome to join us, Michael and Billy Dodds and anyone, you know. If you want to come on and actually learn about the laws of the game and talk about why you can't just say what you want, you've got to actually consider what the laws say, come on and have a chat with us. We'll not stop them to come on Bobby Days.
Absolutely not. But the fact they've got a national broadcaster behind them, I know Stephen very well, but Michael Stewart, honest to goodness, go and sit a referee exam. Go and sit it. Go and learn the laws of the game. And the fact that you're sitting here, Kenny McIntyre, who's an absolutely fantastic host, he's prompting, he's prodding, he's on it to see where it goes. But they still don't answer the question. They do not know the laws of the game. Or under this, and no, Michael, you're wrong.
And this is off the back of, this is now like the third episode or something where we've actually discussed something really stupid that he said. I mean, the one the other week at the Dundee game, let the players just decide if they want to play the game. And I can't remember what the one before it was, but that was an even bigger whopper. It's just like, come on, think about something else other than your opinion, mate. Come on, please. Give her some peace.
Could you imagine that game took place at Dundee? They're right there. Let the players decide. I'll guarantee you, if somebody had a massive injury, getting their leg caught or their ankle caught. Michael Shear said it was fine. Just let the players decide. Not a chance.
Yeah, please, and they're welcome to go and look at that before they open their mouths as well. Celtic Livingston. Celtic's travelled to Livingston this morning, and a pick up in the first point was that you actually spoke to Stephen McGowan earlier in the week. You were approached for a comment on both the Brendan Rodgers hearing outcome and whether you considered it lenient, and also you had some comments to make about the fact that Don was appointed to the game. So before we get into the actual comments in the game, can you just clarify when you were coming from in that article that was published?
Yeah, no problem with that whatsoever. I think that I was going to say as a pundit, I'm not a pundit. I'll give my opinion. The SFA and the independent panel, they've got statutes of limitation, so that's what they can merit out to Brendan Rodgers and to Celtic for that. They're held. They cannot go above, go beyond. I've got no issue with that at all. My issue was it was personal when he mentions Don Robertson, he mentions John Beaton. But I've got no issue at all with the severity of the punishment that was given out. And I don't like using the word punishment, but the sanction that was given to him. Nobody can do anything else. That's the statutes of the limitations that they were allowed to merit out.
Yeah. I think there was actually an article published where it looked at five prior incidents over the last couple of years. And the most common punishment for first-time offenders, and this was Brendan Rodgers' first offence, and that is a mitigating factor that will have been argued at that hearing. And in most of those prior cases, it was a one-match suspension and one game suspended. So that seemed to be the slap in the wrist that they give you for your first offence for this type of thing. The second point on that one was obviously Don Robertson getting appointed the game, which just felt in really bad taste.
Yeah, totally agree. I think that, again, following on from that article, when I spoke to Steve McGowan, there are a number of referees who are available this weekend. Why would you put Don into that? Now, Don would not in any way, shape or form have any difference in his professionalism to handle the game that he's done today. But goodness me, are you going to put somebody in that pressure? He's just been in a, for all intents and purposes, courtroom on Thursday with a major club, and then put him straight back into that major club. I think that was entirely wrong. I think that was a very bad decision for the SFA.
Yeah, it just shows that they've not really considered the difficult position they've put him in as. And you're right, you know, he'll be professional, but there's no need to put him in that game. He had just refereed the Hearts game a couple of weeks before. It's not like it was off a rotation, it was him. It's not like he was then due the game. I struggle if they couldn't find another referee for another game to swap him out for it. I just think it was completely unnecessary. I felt it was a bit antagonistic towards Celtic as well to say, oh, we'll show you who's boss, we'll put him into that game so you know who we are. And I think it was just it's something that should have been de-escalated, and I think that really all it did was fuel the fire and it lacked savvy. I think the SFA can be guilty of that a lot of times. Just show a bit of savvy, diffuse a situation rather than inflame it. Use some thought and consideration. As to what
James, you're running up the wrong line there. Running up the total wrong. The SFA is sowing some savvy. Absolutely not. Not himself for me. I'll have went and done it.
A PR disaster, Des. A good PR person would say, I don't do that. That's not going to be a good look. And there must be somebody with a brain cell in that place that can turn into somebody and say, I don't do that. There seems to be no link up and everything departmentalised, and You've got Mr. Maxwell who sits on top of the organisation, but it seems as if he's not really got a grasp of what's going on in each element of it. And
there's one person running that department.
Okay, we're going to go back one to him.
There's one person running that department.
Livingston versus Celtic, the actual game itself, early decision and call was no penalty on Kyogo. Can I get your thoughts on it?
Well, I've not really seen it overly, so I'm not going to stick myself in. I've seen stills of it, so no, I'm not. I can't comment on that one, to be honest.
All right. It's up to me then. Thanks for the pressure.
Aye, it's fine. No, I've not seen it.
We have to be consistent on these, all right? And so I have to go back to a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was Aberdeen St Mirren, and you get two players chasing down the ball and one puts the leg out in front of the other and they come together and they clatter. And then there was an incident yesterday in the Newcastle game where Anthony Gordon did the same thing. He puts his leg around the body while the player was about to clear it away and he then gets the leg taken over. There are no penalties for me, right? There are no penalties for me, these, but they are being given under VAR. So I can understand why you get people saying that's a penalty. It's what we call footballing incidents. It's two players that are putting their legs in the same position in the same area at the same time, or they're putting their leg in front of a motion that's already taking place. That's a footballing incident. That's not a penalty, but we are seeing them given. We've seen the one at Newcastle given for Gordon going down yesterday. So when you see, if you see the highlights of the one in Match of Day one yesterday, you would be going, why are we not getting that one today? But that's stupid, crazy.
I'm just looking at it here. That's a coming together. That's it, as you said, football incident. Nah, that wouldn't be. I know Celtic fans will be screaming for it, but no, that's just a natural contact.
Yes, I mean, we talk about it all the time, don't we? We talk about football as a contact sport. Not every contact results in a penalty. Not every time a man goes down is it a penalty. There are the odd comings together. Where there's actually a foul in amongst that, you know, if somebody's done something to achieve benefit from, but that's just not the case here. It has a case of Hugo and it's Devlin that's the Livingston defender, and he's putting his leg out to attempt to clear the ball, and Kyogo being fast, he's a fast player, he's fast and he's thought quickly and he's brought his leg over the top into the area where Devlin's already going for, and the two of them come together. First Kyogo's studs come down on Devlin's foot and Devlin's knees continuing through the existing motion and takes out Kyogo. As they're coming together, if you want to go into the actual semantics of the incident and slow it down by the microsecond, Kyogo's studs go into Devlin's foot first. That's your first foul before Devlin's knee even goes into the back of Kyogo. So if you want to break it into semantics, but I'd rather just say it's a coming together, a football incident. Those are not penalties.
No, it's not at all. Just a coming together.
Other than that, and do you know what? I spoke to someone yesterday on X who had put out a similar tweet to the one that I put out and said, it's such a shame that an entertaining game of football is going to be ruined because somebody's going to just keep talking about a VAR decision or something stupid a referee's done, because we're in serious trouble of actually that's what our game's all about. We're not interested in talking about wonderful goals and wonderful bits of play anymore. We're more interested in, should that have been a penalty? Should have not have been a penalty? And that's a sorry state of affairs. And I completely agreed with the person that put that tweet out, and it was very similar to the one that put out earlier that day. Because other than that incident, Celtic came out second half and they played some good football and they scored some very good goals, and that really should be what the game is going to be talked about, but it won't be. Because what we'll do in the media in this country is we'll be talking about that VAR decision and whether it was a penalty, and if Rangers got one the day before for something like that or whatever, it becomes the whole we should get, they got debate, and we don't talk about wonderful bits of talent and skill anymore, and that's sad. That's a sad state of affairs that we're in now.
Yeah, totally agree. It's VAR has now become, unfortunately, how to rule goals out. and to, it's actually just sucking the life out of the enjoyment of it.
Yes, entertainment business, said earlier on, it's the entertainment business. When we stop being entertained, it's not football and it's not entertainment anymore.
Oh, totally agree.
Your good friend Mark Donaldson, ESPN, had sent you an incident, I believe it's Barca Las Palmas. There was an offside decision that was completely bizarre. Did you get a chance to look at what he sent you?
I did, yeah. He was. He sent me I'm sitting in my house here in rural Renfrewshire, and I'm getting a text for Mark and saying, have you looked at this, the Rafinha offside? Ridiculous, absolute ridiculous. How can that be offside? Not a chance. We should try and put that back up if we can do a wee screen overload on it.
We're going to do that with all the incidents today. We'll actually do some form of image now, because it's one of the big bits of feedback that we got from people was, we don't see every game. Can you give us some kind of incident you're talking about? So we are going to actually start doing that in the video episodes. I'm going to put up a picture of what we're actually discussing. I'm not allowed to put up video because of copyright, and YouTube, etc. We just take it straight down, even if we try to cheat by putting it in. So we will put up an image of what we're actually talking about, and we'll put one up in this. It's a bizarre offside decision. When you talk about players needing to be involved in the play to be offside, this guy's like on the moon. No.
Oh, he's... Nah, dreadful. Absolutely dreadful.
Yeah.
And again, I think people need to understand... James, myself, Steve, we are football fans. We love football and we're all involved in football because we'll get an opinion on it. And through this platform, we can give, an informed opinion. But that's it. Guys, get involved with us. Come on, talk to us. You might not agree with everything that we say, but you know what? We'll always be happy to talk back to you.
Yeah, I did put that up yesterday, Des, because it was one of the reasons when you picked up the phone to me, because my background is in audio engineering, and you had picked up the phone to me saying, look, I've got this idea to come into a platform because I'm listening to these pundits and they're getting asked about what they know about the laws of the game, and they always start the conversation as, well, I don't know what the law says. And I thought, do you know what? It'd be good to actually give football fans an opinion, but at least the opinion's backed up by what the actual laws of the game say, and give people an opportunity to come and see, ask questions. Like, there was a lot of traffic yesterday on X about what happens with encroachment, etc. And we've been able to provide more details as to what actually happens in each scenario and explain it. And that then takes out some of the questioning and I call it static that goes on through a week, where if that information is not out there, it just builds and builds and becomes something else. But this is the platform where it's your opportunity to come and speak to us, ask us questions, ask us for clarification on the rules. I have now made the pinned tweet, as I said, the IFAB rules. Very easy to follow. It's just, it takes you a link to a PDF file, and the best cheat I can use is Control F and then the word that you're looking for. That's how I get to things very quickly when I'm researching. But they're there for everybody to look at. And some of that's really interesting reading, and it shows you how far that the IFAB are going with things and how much they're ruining the game at times because they're continually tinkering. They've ruined the handball rule. They've ruined the offside rule. They keep tinkering with other things like blue cards, and who knows where they're going to lead us next. But yeah, it's there for you if you want to read it or you want to refer to it at any point. And you can always get us, obviously, on X. And thanks so much for the support. We'll get Steve back next week. We'll obviously get a big weekend next weekend for the obvious. We'll have Steve back. We're actually going to go on to Riverside FM, which is a new podcast format. So tighten up the imagery and the sound a bit better. And I'd just like to say thank you very much, as always, to our sponsors. We've got Roxburgh Group Insurance, great people. If you need insurance, go and reach out to them. We've now got Beats Group. They're sponsoring as well. Fantastic business. They provide software for investment platforms. Incredible company. Very grateful for the support as well. Thank you very much for all your engagement. Thank you for watching the videos. Thank you for the support. And long may it continue. And we'll be back again next week with Steve. Thank you and goodbye.